some players.
Pick some players.
That is the attitude we have here on Highly Questionable. Welcome. I'm Katie Nolan, Monica McNutt, Pablo Torre. I know that you all want hard-hitting draft analysis, but unfortunately, you got us three. So let's
just
do
pick them. It's not that hard.
Pick them. Just pick them. Come on.
What interests you the most with tonight's NFL draft?
Oh, where to start? It's good that we are recording this at the time when all of the rumors are starting to swirl. We've got a lot of updates coming in. Like Jay Glazer just tweeted that the Saints are trying to move into the top 10. There's a rumor that the Patriots and Bears have canvassed teams. I'm reading tweets. That's how current this all is. Currently, they've canvassed the teams currently selecting between 7 and 10. That's Detroit, Carolina, Denver, and Dallas about possibly moving up for a QB. There's this never-ending rumor that the Patriots are going to orchestrate some sort of a trade in order to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't know if that's going to happen. And then there's this wild, unsubstantiated rumor that came from the Vikings play-by-play guy that the 49ers offered the number 3 overall pick plus a lot more in order to get Aaron Rodgers. I will say, for me, the most interesting thing I'm looking for in the draft tonight is that number 3 pick. What are the 49ers going to do? They moved up. They want somebody. We know that there's a lot of interest from Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones. We also know that taking Mac Jones with the number 3 pick would be a little bit, let's be generous and say suspect by a lot of people, including 49ers fans. There's also Trey Lance, who they may go with, Justin Fields. Kyle Shanahan said that as of this weekend, they didn't know who they were going to pick. I have a hard time believing that, just because my anxiety is bad and I don't need to project that on people, but I really don't think the weekend before you should be like, still not sure, up in the air, could be anyone. But I think it'll say a lot. We'll learn a lot about Kyle Shanahan based on who they end up picking. That number 3 pick is very exciting for me, and not just because I live with somebody who I'll be very concerned about depending on how they use that number 3 pick. What are you guys looking forward to, Pablo?
So the anxiety, that word, I mean, it reminds me of the anxiety right now across the internet, across NFL war rooms. I love that they're war rooms, even though apparently Sean McVay is in like a beach house in Malibu. I love how that's a war room now. It's the anxiety that I think you feel at the end of the night at the club and the lights are about to come on and you're realizing, oh no. Oh no, I don't have the person that I want to go home with. I am desperate.
What is this analogy?
I'm about to start lying. I'm going to start inflating my wealth. I'm going to start throwing things at the wall, hoping that they stick. That's what it feels like right now, Katie. Mm. As everybody is rumoring that they too want one of these top 5 quarterbacks, which means they have to get into the top 10. It feels desperate and kind of crazy and also full of lies. And so I guess fundamentally, I'm looking forward to figuring out who has actually been lying to me this entire time. I feel like the answer might actually be everybody.
I was going to say, that's what women do at the end of the night at the club. We're not like inflating our wealth. We're like, all right, who's been lying this whole time?
Okay, guys. Well, here in my house, I have my draft boards. Okay.
Ooh.
Ready?
Okay. Actual boards.
And here's my, this is shout out to ACC Network. They sent us all this crap for this season to do fun stuff. All right. Top one thing I want to know is who, Washington football team, number 19. Are we going to trade up? Then, you know, I got multiple jobs. First non-quarterback. The odds are, I think it's like 5.5 that it's Ja'Marr Chase, and then there's one that it's Penei Sewell, right? Then, I'm with you, Katie, number 3. Because to me, it should be Fields, and I don't understand when everything changed, so I'm sick of it, and I think that the 49ers are perpetuating a bunch of lies. And the truth is, it's going to be Fields. So that's my first draft board. My second draft board is empty. It'll
you
be
have a second board?
Yeah, really.
I mean, this one's chalk, and this one is a blackboard, whiteboard.
Katie, yeah. I feel so insecure. Like, Monica, like the authority of Monica's boards, and what do you have? What is that?
So
what did you just attempt to use?
Pristine clarity for an unclouded viewing experience. Screen cleaner. I got a lot of stuff directly to my right. What do you want to know?
There you go. That's just got to use what you got.
Light bulbs.
Yeah, I mean, see, this to me, this is the metaphor for Kyle Pitts, who might be the best player in the draft, an offensive weapon, much like this cactus, if I decided to use it in that way. Somebody people will regret on passing on if they don't take Kyle Pitts in the top 4.
Write that down.
I like that. I like that. What's that one, Katie? What, the pens? I love those pens, for the record. G2s are great.
These are pens.
Do you buy that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are in a fantastic place?
Okay, if you're wondering where that phrasing comes from, that comes from Pete Carroll and John Schneider, who finally spoke about Russell Wilson's voiced displeasure with the team yesterday. Back in February, I believe, he gave some interviews where he voiced displeasure publicly with the team, something that Russell Wilson has never done. And Pete Carroll addressed that. So he came out and he finally mentioned that it happened, right? He acknowledged, because this whole time you've been wondering, does he know? Is he going to say something? And he did, but he didn't really say anything. The quotes were all like, our relationship is fantastic. The media is blowing this out of proportion. He's happy. He's doing great. I want everybody to shut up about this. That's not a direct quote. That's me paraphrasing. But give us something. At least give us something that shows you heard what Russell Wilson was saying, because there were no direct addressings of the things he said. He mentions problems, he vaguely references conversations, but they don't say anything about, like, yeah, Russell Wilson is unhappy, he means a lot to us. And not only that, but Pete Carroll also kind of made it seem like Russell Wilson, a guy who's had a 10-year career, doesn't understand that when you say things, they become storylines. He kind of infantilized him in a way where he treated it as if, like, he didn't know any better. He doesn't realize that when you say stuff, he's Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. He does know that. He yes. obviously knows that. What it 100%. Sounds to me is that you don't know, that he feels like you don't hear him. So he had to go outside to tell somebody else. So this would become a story that you'd have to address. And this was your chance to address it. It just doesn't give me a lot of faith that they had actual conversations behind the scenes where Russell Wilson feels better. And also, saying something is fantastic is just like the most obvious lie of an adjective to me. But what do you guys think?
I agree with you, Katie, and I'm whipping into board number two.
Yes!
Wow. This screams age gap. First of all, you're 100% right on the word fantastic. That's a joke. But this is Pete Carroll being very much like, we keep our family business in-house, so I'm going to tell everybody else it's fantastic. When the reality is, the face of my franchise, a quarterback that I've won with, let everybody know that we got some dirty laundry that we need to take care of. But again, I just think he comes from that old school where he's not going to be forthright with us in the media in terms of, hey, we did need to address some things.
But that's the thing, right? Like, Russell Wilson has demands. He wants protection on the O-line, Monica. He wants help. Mm-hmm. He wants the ability to have his chef's hat on and cook in the kitchen, as he was for a time, and then got his privileges revoked for the reasons of the Seahawks not being that great in the second half. But what Pete Carroll here is doing, and what John Schneider, the GM, are doing, I mean, yes, they're using weasel words, right? Katie cued in on that. They also said they weren't actively negotiating. And anytime you involve an adverb like actively, it raises the question about the verb. So you were negotiating, but just not super actively. Well, that's interesting. Challenge, of course, versus break. That's also very weaselly. But to me, we will know if there is any truth to what Pete Carroll is saying when we hear from Russell Wilson. Like, you can't just unilaterally say things are fantastic without us hearing from the person who did not feel fantastic before. And to the infantilization point, that is so real, because Russell Wilson said literally zero things that were controversial or even interesting for 10 years. The reason why this mattered is because he said something finally. So yeah, I'm going to slow play fantastic until I hear from the guy who suddenly decided to actually voice a human emotion.
The guy who has just been basically told by his coach to never voice anything about his human emotions ever again. So I'm sure we'll be hearing from him. Toot sweet.
Do we all owe Russell Westbrook an apology?
I mean, all. When you say all, it's like, did we all say something mean about Russell Westbrook? Because I don't remember saying anything that mean about Westbrook. But yeah, sure. I'd say we probably do. Look, the media's really hard on him. And the Wizards are doing well. They're headed towards the play-in game, basically fueled by him. He's about to break Oscar Robertson's all-time triple-double record. Obviously, the words triple-double and Russell Westbrook are words we say in a sentence together quite often, and there's been a debate over whether it's that impressive of a stat, which I'm sure Pablo is going to have something to add to that discussion in just a second, knowing the history of his takes. But look, Russell Westbrook is a fantastic basketball player. It feels so silly to me to have to sit here and say that, because I know that our job is to just assume everyone's good and then kind of, I said fantastic, which I just said earlier was a lie. Yeah. So let me go ahead and say he's a great basketball player. I can't nitpick him too much. I am still impressed by a triple-double. I will say that, yeah, sure, it isn't as impressive as a stat as it could be, especially given the fact that Oscar Robertson didn't even know that he had that record, because a triple-double wasn't something that we really talked about until the 80s. And so that's kind of interesting to me. So to me, yes, if you have said something mean about Russell Westbrook publicly recently, you might owe him an apology. Not me, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook. I haven't been mean necessarily. I have been skeptical, and so I apologize for this reason. Russell Westbrook is simply one of the most fun-to-watch players in the history of sports. He is also this year clearly establishing himself as one of the most uniquely talented superstars in the NBA. And Katie, you hit on the rebounds. That is a huge part of it. 11 a game while also leading the league in assists. That's just rare. He's 6'3". He's a guy who cannot shoot threes, who is even worse at shooting free throws. And there I go being mean again. But the fact that he can be the centerpiece of a team with this very particular skill set is wildly impressive. The nits I have to pick, though, and there are several, but I'll just pick one here. It's simply the fact that offense in the NBA this year is out of control crazy, right? So Russell Westbrook, I am not trying to be mean here, but you are not a top five MVP candidate, because go through the list of guys: Embiid, Jokic, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, LeBron, James Harden. Like, there are only so many spots on that ballot. And what's crazy to me from the macro basketball pace of play standpoint is that 10 years ago, at this point, there were like 18 triple doubles across the league, super rare. There are more than 100 right now. And Russell Westbrook has a ton of them, but it's just the economy of the triple-double has been inflated, and that does lead people to sort of second guess. And by people, I do mean me.
All right, Pablo, that's a great answer and really smart. And I've converted my NFL board to an NBA board. It's not a highlighter. They're black Expo markers. Don't be a hater. This is Russ's motto, okay? And my only pushback on your argument is that you can't blame him for the league in which he's playing. I mean, as a Washingtonian following the Wizards, this is the team that we envisioned we might see when the beloved, very much so in the D.C. area, John Wall got traded. Mm. You still looked at Russell. He'd been putting up plus 20 the past, like, three seasons. We knew he was capable of the triple-double. But I always circle back to something that Vic Oladipo said after he left OKC playing with Russ. He said that he taught him how to work and become a great NBA player. And we saw in Vic's game, he took that next step. We're hearing the same sort of sentiments here in D.C., that he's a tremendous teammate. And just last week, he talked endlessly in the press conference about how he does not cheat the game of basketball. So, yes, if you talk trash about Russ, you need to apologize.
Do you guys want to hear my most inflammatory triple-double take now that we've
gotten
through the reasonable parts of
it? Ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, the triple-double, it is entirely arbitrary. Like, the only reason it exists is because saying the phrase triple-double is fun and whimsical, right?
Like, yeah, it sounds like a
the
burger.
Number 10 is double digits. Yes, Katie. The number 10 is double digits, and therefore, oh, let's just make this a stat. The reason Oscar Robertson didn't know about it is because we just invented it, because our numerical system has two digits for the number 10. In other languages, 10 is just a single character. There are no triple doubles in, like, China. It's just a thing that we totally invented because it sounds fun and cool.
The conclusion is, in green, I use a new marker. Pablo is a triple-double.
Up next on HQ.
Oh, guys.
I'm just glad our production values remain super high.
And that is why you don't call producers frauds.
Do you question if this makes Nikola Jokic the best two-way player in the MVP race?
Okay, well, normally that's a question mark, but I guess we're going to look at a clip that clears that up for us. So the Pelicans... Whoa!
That's a foul?
That is Zion Definitely. Williamson getting absolutely hacked by Nikola Jokic. That is not a block What a question. Our producers are, you guys are frauds.
It's terrible.
Ridiculous.
Air it
absolutely
out.
Ridiculous. Embiid is not the best two-way player because that dude admittedly does look way thinner and looks great. Nikola, you look fantastic. But you fouled the hell out of Zion Williamson. That is what happened there.
Do you hear the word Embiid in these questions? I feel like you always think the questions about Embiid. Nobody mentioned him. Nobody's talking about him. You are projecting.
Okay, the only positive spin here is because that's an absolute foul by the Joker. Like, should have been on the line. The spin was that Zion had a really impressive response post-game in which he basically said, it's only my second year in the league. I still have to earn those types of calls. Wow. That's just too much maturity for me because I'd have been irate. I should have been on the line.
He's playing the media. Nikola Jokic is trying to play the voting public. There are 100 voters who decide MVP. He's trying to suck up to them. I see completely through your campaign to derail. Yes, Joel.
I don't know how we got
everything
there.
Is a personal attack.
Hey, Pablo, we decided to put together some of Joel Embiid's best defensive plays to make things fair.
Oh, God.
Oh, really? Okay. Like,
oof again.
Not his fault.
Ooh.
Fouled.
Timber.
Also fouled. Oh, no. Why are you fouling Joel Embiid? Why is everyone fouling him?
This is beautiful.
That was just rude. No, this is
ooh.
From...
This...
That... That, honestly... Unnecessary.
Who did this? Oh no. Guys.
I'm just glad our production values remain super high.
And that is why you don't call producers frauds.
You did ask for that, Pablo.
Do you question if we owe Pablo an apology for the unfair video we just ran on Joel Embiid?
No.
Tonight at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, Cubs and Braves.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Probably going to be a good game. But the reason we're talking about it is because we got a position player pitching. We have Anthony Rizzo on the mound.
Ooh,
I mean,
heat. Love it. The form. It's great.
Yo! Strike him out, Freddie Freeman. MVP.
I love that reaction. Striking out your friend has to be an awesome feeling, especially when you're not a pitcher. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am very intrigued, always intrigued by position players throwing pitches. I love that Anthony Rizzo, by the way, casually caught the ball back from the catcher with a bare hand, which is just incredibly badass and unnecessary. But yeah, I'll probably be watching the NFL draft, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to watch the Braves.
So. Wow. Disrespectful,
okay.
Monica.
That's,
are you intrigued?
That's honest. I am intrigued because baseball's been kind of where's my cute little seat, right? See, I am intrigued. Yeah, a little bit because I just want to see this. I love a little good rivalry. I love some fun from the mound to the pitcher, right? Like Bauer Tatis, except not like that at all. But yeah, sure.
I see what you're saying. It's same location.
There you go.
Tonight on ESPN Plus, Dodgers and Brewers.
Oh, my subscription lapsed, so it's a no for me, but I have to renew it. I think my credit card expired. It's a whole thing that takes me a long time to figure out. But anyway, in a game yesterday, this was called obstruction. An error was called on the pitcher. The batter got first base. Our producer just called it the worst call he's ever seen. I have to agree. That's pretty bad. Of course, obstruction is if you get in the way of the runner and you obstruct their path to the base, which I mean, I guess he kind of did, but at the same time, aren't you supposed to run in foul territory or like on that base path? I don't know. Monica, are you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued, but I am diagramming what I think just happened. The runner was over here and the pitcher was over here and this is the base. So it's not obstruction. There you go.
Okay, I understand it a lot better now that I've seen the graphic.
That's good analysis.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued perversely because I got like PTSD to the first time I tried to get my driver's license because that umpire seemed to be umpiring professional baseball. Like the dude giving me my driver's test was umpiring my driving, because it was like, look, I know technically that I need to come to a full stop at the stop sign, but there are no cars. So I'm going to slightly roll into it. But you can see, I saw
on your driving
no cars.
In the test, you stopped.
Sorry for being a real person. I try to be who I really am in all environments.
Big time. Big time.
And I have a claim pending that they have not acknowledged because they don't allow you to challenge outcomes of driver's tests.
All right, folks, that's it for Highly Questionable. We are out of here. Monica's got Where You Can Find Us All. That's my podcast called Sports. Pablo, I mean, who knows what he's doing.
That's,
and you can watch Monica on The Jump
Daily.
Next. Does The Jump come on after? Go watch
sure
The Jump.
Sure does. I checked
how
before
are we
my,
promoting
my
everything?
Go watch The Jump. And Pablo,
Daily, great podcast.
If you need
great
Pablo, podcast. I'm sure you could call him, shoot him a text.
Talk about Joel Embiid.